So, the theme this morning is guilt. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about the things that you feel guilty about. Have you got a few? Great. Now I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and I'd like you to tell them all about it, okay? No? I thought that would work really well. Not going to happen in a million years, is it? The reality is that we all do guilt. And the reality is that for many of us we'll have big things, regrets, mistakes, things from the distant past that we still feel like we carry. And the reality of this is that for all of us, we all have a whole load of little things. Things that just we pick up through your average every day. Harsh words spoken. That's why in the confession, we use that particular confession. Because our hope, as you're saying, we're just kind of going, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I can relate to that. I've been a grumpy water this morning. Yeah, I've had stress yesterday. Yeah, there's an opportunity to do good. It just passed me by. That's life, isn't it? We all battle with guilt. But the other reality is that there isn't one size fits all, is there? We all do it differently. We all have different degrees of guilt. Some of us are really susceptible. Someone only has to say, "You let me down," and we're mortified. Others of us can be in that same situation, kind of walk off the duck's back. It just doesn't seem to have the same purchase, the same weight for some of us as it does for others. And I want to acknowledge that there are many factors to guilt. I think there's a very real reality that some of us, our brain chemistry almost, our personality just means that we do heavy guilt in a way that others don't. We can be affected by tiredness. If you're tired and run down, guilt can weigh heavier. Circumstances. If you've had a bad run of letting someone down, and then suddenly you're in a situation again where you've let them down again, the guilt piles on in a way that if it had been the first offence, it just wouldn't. In my household, I think for certain members, it can be a case of whether they've had their breakfast or not. You know, if you're hungry, if you're run down, if you're lacking in sleep, all those things can come bearing. For some people, guilt can be paralyzed. Maybe that's you, or maybe you can think of someone you know where guilt just seems to be a massive controlling factor in their life. Someone just comes to mind, or maybe you feel that yourself. For others, it's not such a big deal, but it's there. It sort of bubbles up, and they swallow it down quickly and move on. I think if I'm honest, I'm more naturally predisposed to that. I'm not very good at saying sorry, my wife will point this out. I don't have that natural default low level of remorse. I'm more kind of, if I can justify myself, if I can just ignore it, then I'll carry on. But I do have experience. I have weird moments where just suddenly I'll have like a flashback to like childhood stuff. Some mistake I made, or some way I upset my parents, or some terrible thing I did to my sister. And it just bubbles up. And I feel that horrible feeling, and then I swallow it down as quickly as I can and move on. So that's me. I'm not naturally a guilty person in that sense. Does that make sense? I know if I do things wrong. Don't think I'm not claiming perfection, but naturally within me, I don't do guilt heavy immediately. That's not my gut reaction. But I know people who do. Last year, a good friend of mine said this. The thing about churches is I find it's bad for my mental health. Now, there are many reasons why he could give that an answer. Mainly the vicar, I suspect. But he went on to say this. I've struggled with bouts of depression. And I come along to church on a Sunday, and you lot, that's the church of which you were a part, insist on telling me how bad I am every Sunday before I've barely sat down. You know what we're talking about confession. Two individuals, me and my friends. When I say confession, I have to think about where I might have got things wrong. It's good for me, it's like a health check. How are you doing, Steve? Do you need to say sorry? For him, the guilt just piles on. He's got a till receipt of things to feel guilty about, and he just feels like he's being beaten up. For him, the guilt is suffocating and controlling. Now, as we're getting on to explore, that's not the point of confession. But that is his experience of when he's invited to think about things that he's done wrong. The guilt just slams him. So where is Jesus in all this? Well, your first thoughts after hearing our Bible reading might be, maybe my friend's got a point. Hell and damnation, sin, guilt, the wagging finger of judgment is probably tragically what many people think church is all about. Church equals guilt. It's not fair, it's not right, but I think for many people that's how they can feel. As we look at our Bible reading, you've got it in front of you. John the Baptist isn't exactly doing the soft sell, is he? I was interested to see what venom you did this with. You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Watch out! God is going to take an axe to you and throw you into the fire. Thankfully, that is not how our welcome team welcome people into church. Please be assured, that's not how our welcome team welcome people into church. No, good. Well, a couple of things I want us to note about that. First thing is, John was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they weren't coming looking for help. They were coming to suss him out, to try and make trouble. They weren't coming to find freedom from guilt. They thought they were pretty darn good. Their special subject was making other people feel guilty, not feeling guilty themselves. And the second and really important thing is that that was only half of John's message. Only half of John's message. John is telling people that they are seriously sick, that they're on the wrong track, that they need to get back on the right track. But then he offers hope. He offers the treatment. Large or small, we don't need to be reminded of the things that weigh on our consciences, both present and past. We can all struggle with guilt. But what is the cure? How do we get round the fact that we do things wrong? That we do have regrets, both big and small? How do we get round the fact that we do let others down and that others want us to be guilty? That we want to let others know that they let us down and we put guilt on others. How do we get around the fact that we make ourselves feel guilty? You've got children. You know what it is to be guilty, don't you? As a parent, you're constantly battling with it. Am I getting this right? Am I getting it wrong? If you've got elderly parents,
You didn't get the thing.
If you're human, basically, you didn't get it. If we're sick with guilt, what is the treatment? Well, it's a big, scary word, a very churchy word, maybe, called repentance. That's what John was calling for in our Bible. But it isn't actually big or scary. It's actually really simple and wonderfully life-changing. It basically means put your hand up and ask for help. Ask for help to change. What's the cure for guilt? Say you're sorry and in God's grace move on. Repentance literally means throw a U-ey. It's the Sergeant Major shouting, about turn! It's a complete turnaround. Change. I want to point out the difference between guilt and repentance. And I'm going to repeat myself because I think it's really important that we know this and we get hold of this. Guilt says, you've made your bed, now lie in it, forever feeling rubbish. Guilt, you're stuck, you're trapped, you're held hostage to it. You can't move on. Repentance says something completely different. It says, yes, you've got it wrong. You may have got it horribly wrong. But you can be forgiven by God. And you can make the change. Guilt wants to hold you, to paralyze you, to trap you. Repentance will release you. It will free you, enable you to move on and make a fresh start that we spoke of in our worship. So here's the challenging bit. For the humble preacher. How? How? We all know it, we've sung of it, we believe it, but we don't necessarily live it. We don't necessarily fully believe it. We don't necessarily believe it applies to us. It applies to everyone else. But there's something in us where we still feel that guilt should have a hold and a place on us. So let's look at John's prescription in verse 11. It was to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Say sorry, put your hand up, say there's a problem, and ask for God's help. Who has the power and authority to free from guilt? Only Jesus. And that's where John the Baptist had to sort of pass on the baton. He could diagnose the problem. He could suggest the treatment. But it was only Jesus who could make that change happen. John says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He spoke for Jesus. How can we be free from guilt? How can we change? The answer is Jesus. How can our souls be at rest? How can we be at peace in our lives? How can we make a fresh start? How can we be free from guilt? It's through receiving Jesus. At the cross, Jesus did all that was needed to be done, to take away all our sin and shame. Even the things that can never be fixed in this life, that can never be put right in this life, those things where you cannot go back and turn back the clock, even those, Jesus has taken on it. Yes, there will always be remorse. Yes, we'll live with consequences. but your soul can be at peace. You can be at peace with God and with yourself. That because of Jesus, you can be guilt-free. And more than that, it's not just a sort of get out of jail free card. He's made a way that we can know God's love. When we question our worth, when others make us feel rubbish, when in ourselves we pull ourselves down and we criticise ourselves and we feel guilty and guilty and our past haunts us and we throw mud back at ourselves, Jesus tells us we are loved. In a moment we're going to watch a short video clip. But before I do that, I'm going to say something, ironically, that is going to make some of you feel guilty. Do you hear that? The irony? I'm about to say something that is going to make you feel guilty. Christians shouldn't be trapped in guilt. Let me say that again. Christians shouldn't be trapped in guilt. And yet for many of us, we struggle. And yet for many of us, guilt is an oppressive reality in our lives. Why is that? Well, as the accuser, that voice that constantly throws our mistakes and regrets against us, there's the consequences. If you've made a mistake in your life, and you see the ripples going out and going on, that reminds you of where you could have done things differently. There's the consequences, the broken relationships, the clocks that can't be turned back. But the reality is that for all who are in Christ Jesus, for those who put their faith and trust in Him, there is no condemnation. Can I see some smiles? There is no condemnation. You are free. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to be held hostage to that horrible, constricting feeling. As Christians, we are a redeemed people, a rescued people, a forgiven people, a restored people. But because of Jesus, we are not a guilty people. We are not a guilty people. We're going to watch the clip now. It's a song with some words sort of projected onto the screen. I hope that you will find it helpful. Thank sometimes in your mind, in your heart, you know that, and yet it doesn't feel real. Why don't we take the counsel of John the Baptist, and we pray and ask Jesus to send His Holy Spirit to make it real to us in our experience that we are loved. The gift of repentance is love, God's love. The love that was revealed at the cross. When you feel guilty, remind yourself that you are loved. and pray that Jesus would, by his Holy Spirit, confirm in you afresh, in the core of your being, in your heart and your mind and your soul, that you are loved and you are forgiven and free from guilt.
In a moment we're going to sing a song, but before that,
I'd just like to pray a final prayer. For some of you, this may be very familiar. For some of you, this may be a very distant memory. There are different prayers, different ways of doing it. But this is one of those prayers that you would pray when you first became a Christian. And as I pray it, I want you to say it again. And maybe for some of you, you've never said it. And I would encourage you to say this wonderful, life-changing prayer. But for those of us for whom we've said it, I encourage you to say it again and ask God to help you live it fully. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One prayer. Guilt free. If you haven't said that prayer before in your life, at the back you'll see these booklets by Jesus, and they'll just talk you through what it is to live in that reality. And maybe for some of us who've been Christians for donkey's years, maybe we might do well to just grab one and almost have a refresh, to be reminded that we are free from guilt because of Jesus. Can I invite you to stand in the worship group and come and lead us
in a song? This song speaks words of truth,
and I encourage you, so as you worship, to pray that this would be your reality.